is my pleasure to present.
Good morning and welcome to the Carmichael Dave Show, starring Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, and your phone calls on the Fire Wings hotline at 1-800-920-1140. Text in on the Jiffy Loop text line at 44-1140. Now, strap in and sit down. Here's Carmichael Dave.
All right, coming up at 7:30, we'll have halftime. We'll go over the playoffs, including Russell Westbrook being doused with popcorn and how lame Philadelphia fan is, and fans, and some fans in general. Let's just not just confine this to Philly, but a lot of it's Philly. We'll talk about that. Today's poll question, do athletes owe viewers media access? And the reason we're asking that, we'll go over that in that hour, too. Naomi Osaka saying she's not doing interviews at the French Open. And she'll get fined, and she's here for it, and blah, blah, blah. And she talks about her mental health and the way the media is. So it's a conversation I think worth having. Do athletes have an obligation to do media? And this goes back to Marshawn Lynch and many, many others who have had disdain.
Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, Russell Westbrook. There you go. All right, so we'll get to that in about, I want to say, 30 minutes. Right now, it's Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. The cuts and clips that are catching our eye today. Soundgarden. It's time to go round the world with Soundgarden.
How surprised are you how ugly Aaron Rodgers and the Packers has become?
Surprised? It's inexcusable. It's absolutely, I think.
What do you mean?
How they ever got to this point. I mean, Aaron's been there 16 years, what he's given to that organization and been there. And for them, I think, to what happened last year during the draft, and I haven't talked to Aaron about this, so I don't want to like put words in his mouth, but clearly to watch the interview and him talk about it, it's about the people. And it is, and Aaron's been there that long, and I don't think it was the fact that they drafted Jordan Love in the first round. I mean, I think it's the fact that you just – how do you have a guy – like Aaron, and you don't go make sure beforehand, you aren't going out of your way to make sure that he knows that he's loved, that they want him there, that we may be taking a quarterback in the first round. We want to make sure you're okay with it. This is maybe what we're doing. We're thinking. How you haven't treated him the right way leading up to that, and to the fact that, from my understanding, it's kind of like it was a bit of an unknown, a bit blindsided. You know, you go from potentially thinking you may be taking a receiver, you know, you're thinking you're a move away from the Super Bowl.
Right.
And then blindsided with a pick. I just don't understand how an organization, how you haven't addressed that beforehand when you make a move like that and really made sure that everything is tightened up and everybody's feeling good about that. Because if it's not, you're not doing it.
Okay.
I mean, Alex Smith getting loose in retirement,
and good for him. But there's a little malarkishness going on here, a little bit. I'm going to give you 242 million reasons,
okay,
why they need to chill on the whole Aaron Rodgers is being abused. Aaron Rodgers has made $250 million from the Packers. He's earned every penny. $250 million from the Packers.
Okay.
He's been treated just fine from that angle, number one. Number two, he when did he sign his contract? Like, wasn't it a year ago? 2 years ago?
Let me go back on the whole money thing, and Aaron Rodgers has made $250 million off the Packers. Aaron Rodgers would have made that money with any of the other 31 teams.
It.
So that doesn't really, I'm
totally
sorry, that argument doesn't fly.
Totally get it. He also has had multiple opportunities to leave the Packers. Multiple opportunities.
Okay, but this is specifically...
He has chosen to play for the Packers. He could have played.
Right.
He could have made money anywhere else, to your point, and I agree with you.
My guy, if they draft Jordan Love and he's a free agent the next season, he's not going back to Green Bay. Like, he was under contract.
They drafted Jordan Love. I think it was stupid. I'm not standing in front of the
You're
Packers.
You're kind of standing in front of the Packers
I'm
right
saying
now.
Let's dial down the rhetoric about how Aaron Rodgers is this mistreated, abused, disrespected. Like, okay, I'm an Aaron Rodgers stan. I love the dude. He shouted me out once. I mean, how could I not love him, right?
Yeah, that's, you don't love him too much.
But No, I just want to dial the rhetoric down a tiny, eensy bit. When you have guys in the NFL that are playing 2 years, break a leg, get cut, they were making 800 grand for 2 years, now they got to go out into the world and do whatever the hell they're going to do. Aaron Rodgers made $250 million. He's dated a ton of amazing people. He's a guest. And full credit to him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It is full credit. It has nothing to do with the Packers.
Nobody forced him to sign and re-sign and re-sign and re-sign with the Packers. Nobody forced him. Nobody said, Aaron, you got to do this. So they drafted a quarterback. It sucks. Guess what? He got drafted. Of all the people that should understand
this.
Yeah,
but is it part of the last contract he signed was the idea like, yo, I'm the guy, and then boom?
It's the team's right to build the team the way they want.
I'm not saying it's not their right, but to Alex's point, like, don't you go to your guy.
Sure.
Your Super Bowl MVP, maybe greatest quarterback of all time, quarterback. Thank you.
Packers are stupid.
I think that's Alex's point.
But again, I'm not saying the Packers aren't stupid. I'm not saying the Packers have dealt with Aaron Rodgers with the respect he's due completely. I'm not defending the Packers. What I'm saying is, I think we should dial the rhetoric down on how abused Aaron Rodgers is.
And I know most of the audience can't see this. I think you should take your cheese hat off.
I mean, dude. You signed the contract, bro. You made $250 million.
Oh, you're
cool.
That guy.
You'll be fine.
You signed the contract. Okay. Play where you play, bro, guy.
You know what? Then don't sign the contract.
You hate player empowerment. Just say it.
I love player empowerment.
Apparently not.
He has been empowered to go. And guess what? He's probably going to be on a different team next year.
Well, who knows?
He's probably going to be on a different team next year because he is empowered. And I'm all for it. But, bro, you signed the deal.
There you go. You heard it here first.
So let's just, that doesn't mean he shouldn't want out. It doesn't mean he shouldn't get out. It doesn't mean he shouldn't have the freedom to do that. What it does mean is when you made $250 million and people talk about how maligned and abused and disrespected and terribly treated and kicked in the face and mud and blah, blah, blah. Let's just calm down on that. You know what? Abuse me with $250 million. I'm here for it, bro. Sign me to a contract for $250 million at KHDK and then go out and hire the best sports talk show host in the world and put him at noon while they're breathing down my neck. I'm here for it. Just make sure the money is part of it, too. Number two.
Soundgarden.
He looks great. You can tell he's just a guy that you want to be around. Character is awesome. Just had a few conversations with him, and I can already tell. And then just a hard worker. You know, no one's going to work harder than him. And those are the kind of guys you want in your locker room that you want to be around every day. So, and then I'm excited to see what he does on the field as well. We've got a few days, and he looks great. He's in awesome shape.
The rookie hasn't even played a down in the NFL coming up and saying, hey, it's a good guy to have in your locker room.
By that, you mean Tim Tebow.
I don't get the Tim Tebow hate.
But it's not so much the Tim Tebow hate. It's just I've never understood the Tim Tebow allure.
I'm not in love with the dude, and I don't think he's the best thing since sliced bread. It's not, again, this is kind of like the Aaron Rodgers thing. It's not black or white for me. It needs to be more middle. Like, how do you hate Tim Tebow?
I don't hate Tim Tebow. I've always said Tim Tebow is the most relevant, irrelevant guy ever.
I mean, hey, listen. I don't. Does he deserve his adulation? I mean,
no.
But you know what?
He doesn't.
He has fans. He seems to live a good life. Seems to be a nice role model. He tries his best.
Super handsome.
Super handsome. So what? So they signed him.
By the way, he's making the team. Your rookie number one overall pick comes out with that endorsement. Urban Meyer's your coach. Oh, he's making the team.
I'm here for Tim Tebow being a top five tight end in the NFL. I don't think he's here for that.
I was going to say, that's some wishful thinking, bro.
But I am. All right, we'll take a break.
That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right, we ran out of time, but we're not skipping that next piece of Soundgarden. We'll put Tua Tagovailoa not knowing the damn playbook at 7:30. Coming up next, Reefer Madness. Bogey in the playoffs. Does it make you mad? Bryson DeChambeau is firing back at Brooks Koepka. And let's take a quick grade of these NBA playoff series thus far. We'll do all that right after this.
1, 2, 3.
It's 3 for Madness time. 3 for Madness. 3 questions, 3 answers.
1, 2, 3. Woo!
It's 3 for Madness. Here's question one.
Don't forget, 8:05, Sam Amick joins us. Will Sam still have a job in journalism after a little slip up on this very show that is making national headlines, so to speak? We'll find out at 8:05.
I don't know if it was a slip up. Tells it as it is. By the way, he's not wrong.
No. Not like, here's the thing. Sam doesn't come on and promote fake news. Let's be very clear.
Quick question for you about the show. Just simple answer. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
How do you feel about adding a laugh track?
No.
Okay. Three for Madness, question one.
Has Bogdan Bogdanovich play in the first two games of the playoffs made you regret the Kings not matching his contract with Atlanta?
Not one iota. Not a bit. Not a bit. Bogdan Bogdanovich plays for the Kings next year. What's the difference in the record?
Next year or this season?
This season.
A couple games.
Two games?
Two or three.
Enough to get in the play-in?
Even if they did, does that matter? Is that an accomplishment?
Yeah. That's the thing. $72 million. This is nothing against Bogdan Bogdanovich, but it's like signing Bogdan Bogdanovich and committing $72 million, by the way, on a team that already has massive cap issues. Like, they literally have to move someone if they have any chance at signing Rashawn Holmes. So you bring him on a team last year. I don't think you get in the play-in with him. I think you're pretty much damn near the same, maybe a game or two better. So you've got that money now committed. You're in an even deeper hole. Oh, by the way, if you think Tyrese Halliburton has the year he had, if Bogdan Bogdanovich is here, you're smoking.
Mm-hmm.
There
would have been a lot of issues with rotation.
It has nothing to do with Bogey. I love Bogey. God bless him in Atlanta. Bogdan Bogdanovich in Atlanta is not what bothers me about Bogdan Bogdanovich. What does eat at me about Bogdan Bogdanovich has nothing yet everything to do with him, and that's completely in a different playoff series. When I'm watching Dante DiVincenzo running around the floor for the Bucks, that bothers me because we lost Bogey for nothing other than a little more cap flexibility, I guess, than we would have had, and we don't have it anyways. Instead, we would have gotten Dante DiVincenzo. That bothers me. Also, the reports that Atlanta, prior to Bogey signing the offer sheet, put up, I think, a couple of minor picks. There wasn't any first-rounders or anything, but they offered something for him. The fact that we lost Bogey for nothing grates at me. The fact that Bogey's on Atlanta, we didn't re-sign him, not a single solitary bit. Number two.
Question two.
Bryson DeChambeau told Brooks Koepka that he lives in his head, quote, rent-free. Do Koepka and DeChambeau currently have the best feud in sports?
Yeah, I think they have the most relevant feud in sports. I mean, I'd have to sit down and really go through feuds, go through boxing, go through mixed martial arts, nothing really in tennis. Baseball, you have your team rivalries. Basketball, yeah. And you're talking about a sport that on the surface, you're like, golf, everything's prim and proper and polite. What do you mean feuds? There's been feuds in golf going. I mean, Tiger and Phil had a feud forever. There were feuds with Arnie or Jack or Sam Snead or whoever, you know, Ben Hogan. Golf has always had feuds because it is, you see feuds like this in individual sports.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, you'll have the cornerback versus the receiver, that type of feud, and those are fun, but this one's special because it's two red asses in a sport that's really, really has become so much more fun to watch over the years, and I'm here for it. It's fun. It's awesome. And as we talked about earlier, when we were talking about the Mickelson versus DeChambeau, Brady, and Rogers thing, both Bryson and Brooks have an opportunity here to do something cool. Take this feud, make the most of it, and let's do a charity match.
Match play.
Let's do a match play for charity. Great example. Great role modeling. Great showing that you don't take yourselves too seriously. But most of all, raise money for a good cause.
I agree with that, except the sentiment that, hey, let's show everybody that those two don't like each other.
No.
Like, they genuinely don't like each other, especially Koepka with DeChambeau. I think Bryson's just kind of like, yeah, whatever, I don't really care for dude, but I don't think about... I think Koepka actually, I don't want to use the word hate, because I'll let him use that word if that's how he really feels, but you can tell he strongly dislikes him. Like, we get friendly feuds here every once in a while, and that's fine. That's all well and good. The two guys that respect each other going at it. I'm not saying these two don't respect each other. I'm just saying there's a lot of personal vitriol there, and that's the best feuds. I'm here for it. I'm so here for it. This is the best feud in sports.
And by the way, when did it become wrong for people not to like each other?
I'm you're not getting that sentiment from me. Right? I think it's great. Well, I think sports. Okay. I think sports needs more of guys not liking each other.
I completely agree. You know what? I didn't like Keith Brooks when I worked with him. Couldn't stand the guy. It was hell working with him. I did not like it. And I'll bet you.
Second best feud in sports to DeChambeau and Brooks was you and Keith.
Me and Keith couldn't stand working with each other. But guess what? I've known Keith since I was, 19 years old. Worked with him at Quad. And anytime I see him in public, and I've seen him a few times, we hug each other. And I, you know, his little brother, and I've gone through some things with him. I love Keith. I just didn't like working with him. It's okay. It's okay. And I'm sure he'd say that. I'm sure I was a headache for him, if not worse. He got fired. I'm sure I was a bigger headache to him. But that's okay. It's okay not to like each other.
Say that next time you guys hug and you get right in the back. I know. We'll know why.
Number three.
Question three.
The best NBA playoff series so far has been...
Listen, the most important playoff series so far has been Phoenix and LA.
Sure.
Okay. I think the most enjoyable playoff series has been the Knicks and Atlanta.
That's been that, but I'm going to say a close second right now to me, Jazz Grizz. Especially after John Morant tonight, last night. That was fun.
Yeah, but they lost.
No, I get it. I'm saying
they scored 47.
I get the overall. I'm saying just the overall series so far to me has been good. I don't think it ends better than the Knicks-Hawks will, but I think it's a close second so far.
I think the Knicks, I don't care about the Knicks and I don't care about the Hawks. I think it's as much about the atmosphere. Listen. I great at the whole, you know, MSG is a capital, it's a mecca of basketball, Knicks have big market.
You've been to Golden 1 Center, bro?
But here's the thing. The truth is the NBA is better when the Knicks are in the playoffs and relevant. It's sure. Just they are better.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like the NBA is better off when Sacramento's in the playoffs.
NBA is at its peak when Sacramento's in the playoffs.
I would say it is.
Dare to say the Kings are the ones that carried the NBA between Jordan and LeBron. Like,
well, you talk about the Knicks as one of the most storied franchises in the NBA. I agree with that. But guess what? The Knicks aren't. They're not the longest tenured franchise in the NBA. That's your Sacramento Kings, oldest franchise in the league, a cornerstone.
And given their age in the league, the most underperforming ever.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All righty. Halftime. We'll hear from Ed Crane. And then we got the, stuff going on in halftime. Then we'll get to the playoffs. We'll get to Russell Westbrook and the popcorn incident. I'll tell you why that thing, it's not being covered anywhere. Why? What also, not really, what bothered me was what happened to him. But a little side note on here that I think makes that fan look even stupider. Tua Tagovailoa doesn't know the playbook, or at least didn't. And Naomi Osaka is not doing pressers for the French Open. Do athletes owe fans media access? We got a lot to get to before Sam Amick at 8:05, and it starts next.
The Carmichael Dave Show.
These people talk endlessly, incessantly. They have a very high number of words per minute.
On Sports 1140 KHTK.
We appreciate you, and we welcome you back. Carmichael Dave, Jay Mars, all the way until 9 o'clock. 1-800-920-1140 if you want to call. 916-339-1140 if you want to text. Go to YouTube, search KHDK, and hey, there you are with a live YouTube feed where we enjoy most of our chatters. Not all. Christy's been back this week. Thank goodness.
You notice the chat got significantly better with her presence?
Yep. Notice that when she shows up, MC's not usually there. Is there less? Are they the same person?
I don't think so.
Like, I know Christy's a real person, but is MC her burner account?
That would be interesting, wouldn't it? Because it's such a difference. Very opposite effect.
Yes, that's how they do it.
Then there's just Chris, who's just Chrissing. Is always just kind of Chrissing through life.
He's just Chrissing along.
Yep. Chrissing it up.
Chrissing like the wind.
You know.
We promised we'd get to this. I don't want to. Let's skip halftime because we have too much to talk about today, if that's all right with you. We just have too much to put into this segment. We have some really good topics. Let's start with what we missed in Soundgarden.
Easy there, Hiccup Boy.
That's never happened to me on the air. And I'm still hoping it. I get the hiccups. I do.
You just got it right there.
No, that was a reflux.
No, that was a hiccup.
Now, yeah.
I think you're lying.
I've never gotten the hiccups before. That would just be horrible.
Or great.
No, because when I get the hiccups, I get them for like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It sucks. My mom said when I was younger, when I was a baby, I would get the hiccups. Same thing for like 20 minutes. And I would be so pissed. I would angry cry.
Isaiah was like that when he was a baby.
I still feel it. Like, I don't angry cry, but I get angry. Like, dude, enough. Have I been saving hiccups for 20 years or something? And
Little 7-Up goes a long way with those hiccups, bud.
No. Usually so does Give Me. They will trigger really? Hiccups for me. Yeah, peanut butter actually helps.
I love peanut butter.
All right, here's Tua Tagovailoa at OTAs.
I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good, and that's on no one else's fault, you know, but my fault. Our play calls were simple when I was in, you know. I didn't have alerts and checks. Whereas now, you know, feeling more comfortable, you know, I can kind of maneuver my way, you know, through these things now.
Okay, I have thoughts.
I do too.
I even have takes.
I wonder if we both have a similar one. What? Give me yours.
Which one? I got multiple. Let me start here. Bro, what are you doing? Like, why would you ever admit, like, yeah, you know, last year, Coach put me in when we were winning, and I didn't know the playbook. And Coach had to dumb down all the plays for me because I didn't know the playbook. What?
Listen, we're having fun.
No, we're not.
We throw terms like IQ and stuff around, and I'm sure Tua Tagovailoa is. But did you at all, when you listen to that clip, did Ben Stiller pop into your head at
any
point? A little bit. Because all I could think about, the first line.
I didn't actually know the playbook necessarily really, really good.
And all I thought about was the Derek Zoolander Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good. You didn't know the playbook well, Tua, but that's not the point.
He didn't know it really, really good either.
I mean, dude, let's first stand in front of Tua Tagovailoa in the following way. Tua Tagovailoa is far from the first, nor will he be the last quarterback rookie to come in, or quarterback veteran that goes into a different and doesn't know the playbook. You see it all the time. You got, you know, you got like an arm tat on quarterbacks of plays and different things.
Trey Lance knows the playbook.
Right, I mean, maybe. That's what Kyle says.
I believe Kyle.
There are two visions of football. One is you look at football, and on the surface, it's the dumbest sport. You've got a bunch of dudes crashing into each other as hard as they can, trying to tackle each other and move a ball across the lines, and yeehaw, rinse, repeat, throw the ball, catch the ball, crash into each other. It's modern-day gladiators, whatever you want to call it. Okay, that's the surface view. Beneath it, there is no sport. No sport that matters in this country, especially, and maybe in the world, that is as deep and analytical and need for intelligence-ness as much as football, the terminology.
The quarterback position in general.
The quarterback beyond anything else, but hell, it could be a defensive end.
I know, I get what you're saying.
But
your smartest player should be your quarterback,
of
right?
Of course, of course, of course. But you've seen this many times. You ever see Ray Lewis or Derek Brooks or a number of these guys, they used to do this back in the day on ESPN, where they would run through different play sets. And it would be, I think they actually parodied this in the movie The Program. I could be getting it wrong. Where you're running through just different looks. What's your job here? What's your job here? Right. What's your job here? And they know everything. So anybody who tells me that, especially a good NFL player, isn't smart, that they're just a brute, that they just crap, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Sure. It requires massive intelligence to be good at football in almost all cases, but especially at the quarterback position. Tua Tagovailoa is far from the first quarterback to not know the playbook that well, especially as a rookie. But you don't want to admit it, dude.
So, two thoughts on that. Number one, doesn't that kind of feed into the narrative we saw at the end of the season when, is it the Miami Herald that some unnamed or sourced players on the team were like, yo, this ain't the guy. Like, this ain't the dude.
Right.
Tua's not that guy. So there's one story aspect of it.
And I'm here for the honesty. I'm here for the transparency. I'm here for Tua making himself vulnerable and saying, hey, listen, these were my shortcomings, and I'm being honest with you, and I'm putting myself out there, not just to be honest because you deserve it, but also to put pressure on myself to be better, mm-hmm. and I need to be better. This team has invested a lot of draft capital in me. I let my teammates down. It's one thing if I know all aspects of my job, and I'm doing everything I can and I still fail, at least I can stand on the grounds that that's who I am. But when I am coming up short on things, I'm going to hold myself accountable personally and publicly and make sure I'm here deep down inside. This is a silly story, and
it's not a silly story.
But what you're doing here in this case is it is a little bit of self-sabotage. This is going to stick with him now. It's going to be a stigma on him, and anytime he makes a mistake now, you're going to have fans and commentators and dummies in sports talk radio saying, well, did he know that play? Mm-hmm. He might not have.
But let's go down to let's get to a little deeper layer of this, though. So he admits, like, yeah, I didn't know the playbook very well or at all, for all we know. It's not like Tua went in last season because there was an injury to the starting quarterback. Sure. The Dolphins were playing well.
Yeah.
Fitzpatrick was playing well, yeah. And they decided to throw Tua in there. You have to know, as a coaching staff, he doesn't know the playbook very well.
Sure.
So who does that fall on? Is that
the
Flores?
Coaching staff.
Or did it come from above him? Like, yo, we drafted this kid here. We need him in
well,
the
game.
Well,
if it came from the, here, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. If it came from, I will say this. Brian Flores of the Miami Dolphins and the front office of the Miami Dolphins, they have a lot of leeway with me right now.
Oh, they've been nothing short of fantastic.
They have turned that franchise around. They have positioned that franchise to be very, very good in the future. They have to follow through on development. They have to follow through on draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
They have to use their cap room correctly. But they have given themselves the tools. I think more than any other team in the NFL that's rebuilding, they have been A++++. So if that did happen, you can't judge it right now, because if Tua Tagovailoa is leading this team to the playoffs and a nice deep run this year, we're going to look back and, hey,
oh, yeah,
like Manning, like Aikman, he went through the bumps and bruises. And the other thing about Tua, too, is this. What he did at Alabama was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He then suffers what many thought could be a career-ending or at least a career-altering injury. He busted his ass on the way back. I don't doubt his work ethic. And I also, jokes aside, I have zero doubts about his football intelligence. But my goodness, there are just some things, you know, listen, sometimes you can be too honest.
Of course.
Do I look fat in this dress?
No.
You know, there are different. Sometimes
you look good
you
in that dress,
wanna,
if I'm
you know,
being honest.
Well, I
was a little turned on this morning, but let's not.
Thank
go
you,
there.
Joe, on the YouTube. I thought it was. That was Mac in the program. That was a hell of a scene. By the way, that movie loosely based on the Florida State University football team. By the way,
program starring Christy Swanson,
amongst others. Who was it? James Caan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was a hell of a movie. That movie kind of gets forgotten about.
I think I have it on DVD.
What's
not that? That's relevant. Digital versatile disc.
I thought it was digital video disc.
No, common mistake people make.
Wow.
It's actually digital versatile
you
disc.
You learn something every single day. Naomi Osaka is in the news.
Friend of the show, Naomi Osaka.
No, she's not.
Yes, she is.
How is she a friend of the show?
We had her on that one time.
No.
That wasn't
no,
her?
No, that was a
different person?
Yeah, that was a different show.
Oh,
sorry. I'd love to have Naomi Osaka.
Well, can we just lie and say she's a friend of the show
so
to make
right.
us sound more
of the
important
show,
than
Naomi
we are?
Osaka.
Thank you.
She's going to skip the news conferences at the French Open. She said that making players answer questions after a loss was, quote, kicking a person while they're down. I'm just quoting her. She talked about the mental health of players and the intrusiveness and sometimes mean-spiritedness, you know, and I'm paraphrasing that, of the media. And I think this is an interesting question. quote, and she said this on social media yesterday, "I've often felt that people have no regard for athletes' mental health, and this rings very true whenever I see a press conference or partake in one. We've often sat there and been asked questions that we've been asked multiple times before, asked questions that bring doubt into our minds, and I'm just not going to subject myself to people that doubt me." She uploaded clips of interviews, including Venus Williams, mm-hmm. Marshawn Lynch. Quote, "I've watched many clips of athletes breaking down after a loss in the press room, and I know you have as well. I believe the whole situation is kicking a person while they're down. I don't understand the reasoning behind it. Me not doing press is nothing personal to the tournament. A couple journalists have interviewed me since I was young. I have a friendly relationship with most of them. If the organizations think they can just keep saying do press or you're going to mm-hmm. be fined and continue to ignore the mental health of the athletes as a centerpiece of their cooperation, I got to laugh. Anyways, I hope the considerable amount I get fined will go towards a mental health charity." It's really interesting. I think it's a hell of a topic.
By the way, I also agree with her. Full-fledged.
I don't.
Okay.
But it's not black and white. I agree with a lot of what she said. But it goes back to the question, which I think is very easily answered on the surface. Do athletes owe viewers media access? Now, I put this poll out today at the start of the show. 73% say athletes do not.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the fine line. Now, let me go devil's advocate here, and then we'll break it down. Here's just completely devil's advocate. Devil's advocate is this. The athletes, ultimately, their boss is the fans. And what I mean by boss is not that the fans can tell them what to do, but that's where the money comes from. The money that they get paid comes from fans, whether it be through ratings, endorsements, viewership. Well, same thing as ratings. You get my point. Attendance. It's fans. It's all fan-driven. It's not owners. It's not the French Open, Royal France Tennis Club, whatever the hell it is. It's not. It's fans. And there is a demand from fans for media access. They want to see this. They want to see a crushing loss interview post-match because they want an insight into the mortality of the player. They identify with failure, and they want to see how these immortals mortalize themselves in front of you. It's a deep-seated psychological thing that happens with sports. It's like anytime you put out a poll, Jay, like, hey, do you like reality shows? 73%. No, they're stupid. They melt your brain. They're idiotic. Then you look at Nielsen ratings and like 50 of the top 100 non-sporting shows of the year are all non-scripted reality shows.
People are voyeurs by nature.
They're voyeurs by nature. There are some exceptions for me. In boxing or mixed martial arts, when somebody has been knocked out, I do not believe they should be interviewed post-fight. Don't do it. They literally have been concussed.
I agree.
Don't touch them because they can't, in many cases, truly, that is a situation where you can't be responsible for what you say. I'm also very, very, this is where it gets a little hinky for me. I'm very sympathetic to mental health causes, and I'm very sympathetic to mental health when it comes to athletes. We sit here and we want to cry for them, or we want to say, why am I crying for them? They make millions of dollars. Well, sure, they make millions of dollars. It doesn't mean they're not human beings. That doesn't mean they don't live in a fishbowl. That does not mean that they don't read the same stuff you read or their families read stuff or whatever. They get calls from their mom or dad. Hey, is it true you did this thing and it's embarrassing and it sucks? But without media access, you take away. I'm not talking about dummies like us. I'm saying without overall media access, you take away a lot of the human part of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But she has a point in the sense that you got to think of yourself first. Now, Naomi Osaka, we read the top paid athletes yesterday. Naomi Osaka is on that list. Huge amount of endorsements, not to mention she's really good at tennis. She can afford to do that, and she can afford to get fined. What's French Open going to do? They're going to suspend her? Great. That's going to screw you guys right. More than her. So when she says, I got to look out for me first and I'm going to get fined, she's in a financial position to do that. But I also applaud her because she is also setting a standard using her platform and her ability financially to do it for the other players that, by the way, when Naomi Osaka, if she gets busted out in the second round of the French Open, she's still Naomi Osaka. She's going to be just fine. When Frances Jenkinson, ranked number 230 in the world, gets in on an exemption to the French Open and she loses in the first or second round and she's not sure if she'll ever get to a big tournament again and she's got to pay all the expenses to get there and back and she's not sure if she's going to keep doing tennis or if she's going to go into school teaching because she's just not sure if she has it anymore and she's 26 years old and she's got to sit there with a bottle of God knows what in a hotel room God knows where and think about her future. But before she does that, she's got to sit there in a press conference and get asked questions about her opponent that just blew her out of the water. Yeah, that's a problem. So I think there are arguments on both sides, and I think there are arguments that are fair, but ultimately I'm going to side with the athlete. What I would like to see, Jay, be done more is the big secret. The big secret that nobody wants to talk about because we in media control a lot of the narrative. I'm happy to talk about it. Really, ultimately, there's no reason for us to exist. We only exist because we are establishment when it comes to sports coverage and media. The Players Tribune, to me, has shown that you can get far better access and far better insight when the athletes themselves produce the content. And right now, every major athlete has a team of people. Mm-hmm. Every major athlete has a manager, has an agent, has somebody following them around with cameras, and they're willing to, on their terms, put that content out there. Now, some of that content's obviously going to be edited. In fact, it all will. You're not going to get the scandally stuff. That media will always exist. But you're going to get more of an insight of the player at home talking about his or her struggles, happy, sads, whatever that go through it. I think ultimately you could replace all of us, with current and former athletes talking about the game with far better insight, far better anecdotes, and far better analysis. And by the way, when you say, well, athletes are always going to be soft on athletes, okay, but I'll take you back. We always rip on Shaquille O'Neal. I'll take you back to Shaq not talking to Donovan Mitchell, but Shaq talking to Joel Embiid last year and telling Joel Embiid live on TNT, hey, dude, listen, you could be one of the greats of all time, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you just kind of cut yourself down in the middle of these games. I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to do more of that. Nobody in the media is doing that and getting away with it. Nobody in the media can do that and have a leg to stand on. Shaquille O'Neal can. And that's just one of many examples we've seen of athletes taking athletes to task. And we still get to voyeur the whole thing out. So I think what Naomi Osaka is doing right now is important. I think athlete mental health is important, but I also think that viewer access is important too. A lot more important than we let on, because like it or not, it does help the general viewership enjoy the overall sport. Sports are better and more fun overall when there are human interest stories attached to them.
Of course, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. My whole take is you do not owe that to the people viewing, the personal access, the press conference. You don't owe that. It should, if you want to do that and you want to tell those stories and you want to use those platforms, cool. But the idea that you oh, that to me is wrong, because somebody is, you know, for instance, take random NBA athlete, right? When you buy a ticket to watch them play basketball.
Sure.
You don't buy a ticket to the post game. You don't buy a ticket to the pregame. You buy a ticket to watch them play basketball. And as an athlete, you owe the fan the best that you can give them in those moments. But the idea that I should have to, after, you know, a 2-point loss and I'm fuming mad because I know referee X made a really bad call and I'm about to go in on them and lose $35,000, but I have to go do that because I owe it to the fans? No, not here for that.
So you don't think part of an athlete's job is fan and via fan or media and via media fan access? Like Marshawn Lynch, I was super entertained by I'm just here so I don't get fined.
I was super entertained by it too, but I don't think Marshawn said that necessarily. That was a very raw comment he made. Now, it was very entertaining because it's Marshawn, number one. I mean, first and foremost, that's why we all loved it. But I agree with him. It's like the fact, it's again, it's the idea. I personally believe you should do the media. I think it's good for you as an athlete. I'm in that boat. I really do. If I were advising an athlete in any sort of role, I would be very honest, like, you should do media. This is good for you. This is a way to build brand. This is a way for you to, there's so many different reasons why you should do it. Again, I just don't think you should have to do it.
It's an interesting topic, and I think it's something that should be followed. And I think ultimately we're going to have, at some point, there's going to be a reckoning between athletes and media. And I'm here for it because I think every industry should be checked. I think every industry should have checks and balances. And I think ultimately, and we'll talk about this later when we get to Russell Westbrook, I think sometimes fans, we can talk about athlete entitlement all the time. There are a lot of entitled fans too that believe just because an athlete makes money and plays for a team and chose that line of work, that they're entitled, that athlete somehow belongs to them. And that's a wrong way to think about it. And it is a second cousin, not a direct, and I want to be careful here, it is not a direct corollary, because comparing sports and life and death situations, no. But it would be akin to somebody saying, if you suffered a tragedy while defending our country, that's what you signed up for. Yeah, you signed up for it. But you didn't sign up for that. You signed up to heroically defend our country and to dismiss what's happening. And let's take away life or death. Let's say somebody loses a limb. Well, they signed up for that. Well, how do you sound when you say that? You sound like an ass. You sound like an uncaring ass. So when an athlete is saying, hey, listen, I'm a person too, and this is affecting my mental health. Oh, well, that's what you signed up for. Okay. Well, you're an ass. Anyways, I think it's a fascinating topic, and I applaud Naomi Osaka. You do what you got to do, and I applaud her setting an example and using her platform. Speaking of applause, Memorial Day weekend coming up. Listen, today's Thursday. It is going to be hot, but that doesn't mean you're not going to be grilling. That doesn't mean you're not going to have cooler nights. That's what you need your propane for. Cinch.com, C-Y-N-C-H. Order now. Trust me, you're not going to be the only one ordering, but you order now. Odds are you're getting your delivery before Memorial Day. In fact, you might even get it Saturday. Maybe even tomorrow. I don't know, depending on where you live. It's propane delivery to your door. You leave your old tanks outside, they replace them with new tanks. You hear me talk about it once a day. It's easy. It's simple. It's cheap. That's it. That's all you need to know. It's cheaper than at the gas station. It's more convenient than at the gas station. And not only can you exchange old tanks, you can buy new ones. Right now, use promo code DAVE. Your first exchange, half off, $10. $10. Cinch.com, promo code DAVE. That's Cinch, C-Y-N-C-H.com, promo code DAVE. We'll take a break.
Yeah! That was nice.
Coming up next.
All right. Sam Amick will join us. We'll talk to him about a number of things going on in the NBA, including what happened to Russell Westbrook last night. And then once in a blue moon, what's on tap? The crossover. We've got a busy final hour. It starts next.